Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the pod, Howell and Jamie here, season 2, episode 7 of the box set pod. I'll tell you what we can ask you to do. If you're listening on Acast, click an advert. If it pops up, click an advert. You don't have to buy anything, but clicking it helps. It's all about the clicks in this world we live in. It's all about the traffic.
You give us that click, we get top dollar.
Yeah. We won't.
Well, we get nothing, actually, but it'd be nice.
Yeah, it would. What it means is we can get bigger guests because when you ask someone to come on the show, the first question, inevitably, is how many listeners you've got. So, as usual, we ask you to do that or rate us on iTunes. Or the best thing you can do is pop us on your Facebook. If you like listening to us, then why wouldn't you tell people that you like listening to us? Are we embarrassing to you? Please do that. So, please pass us on. So season 2, episode 7, and it's going to be a shortish one. No guest this week, no guest.
Well, we do have about Fife on.
Yes, we've got Fife, like I say, no guest.
Oh.
Fife Dangerfield will be joining us shortly. We've not had him on for a while. And you know what? We were listening to Fife in the car, his actual music, and he really is amazing.
He's actually a very talented musician, and the Guillemots are brilliant.
We might have to tell him this. So download the Guillemots albums if you haven't got them. They're really very good, especially the first one is just, superb.
Tell you what, a great day. If you're in the car all day, listen to the podcasts, followed by some Guillemots music in the interval to ease you over.
Great idea.
Box set pod and the Guillemots.
Great idea. So, Jamie, what's the... Oh, by the way, last week we were talking about Game of Thrones, and I think we were a bit harsh.
Well, I have to say, I was a slightly rude about Game of Thrones. At least I said this season hasn't been as good, but the last
episode I watched
was brilliant.
Well, me too. And you know what? I want to apologise to Game of Thrones.
Because
the season before this, season 4...
was brilliant.
It was brilliant, but the thing that annoyed me about it was that so many people died, so many key characters moved on. I felt that it was so... soap opera. And there were a couple of moments in the last episode that I watched where the scene ends with someone literally saying, "He always comes back." And then you think, well, he's not coming back. It turns out he might be. But anyway, point is, the cliffhangers were very obvious in the season before. And not only were they cliffhangers like that, but they actually paid them off. So people, key characters...
You're actually having a go at Game of Thrones again.
I'm sorry. I would like to make a statement now that this season of Game of Thrones, and I mean this, we've no reason to say otherwise, is my favourite because of what we said last week. I began to think about it. I thought, oh, now I've said, you know, if you have an argument with someone, you say the worst thing you can to harm them, and then you actually investigate what it is that you said and you begin to question it, and maybe you were wrong. I was wrong last week. I think Jamie was as well.
Last
week was I thought scene by scene it was a brilliant series, that the writing is brilliant. And I thought that even more this week. I thought, you know what? You can't keep moving it on as quickly as you did. I enjoy watching it so much. I want it to go on longer. And I love the characters so much, and I love the stories so much that I'm fascinated. And the scenes in these are really investigating what power is, how power manifests itself in different people, what honour is, things like that. I just think it's brilliant. I really do think it's brilliant.
Yeah, I think Game of Thrones is absolutely brilliant.
No, you hate it, you said. So what's in the news this week?
Let's look at the boxsetpod.com/news. Uh-huh. That's where all the latest goodies are. Dumbledore news, he's getting the bulldog spirit going. Yes, Michael Gambon, Sir Michael, who played Dumbledore, he's now getting another iconic role. He's going to play Winston Churchill in an ITV drama called The Churchill Secret. It will focus on Churchill's days of Prime Minister in 1953, the summer when he had a big stroke and things went a bit AWOL.
Well, I thought that he were, Gambon was quitting acting because he's losing his memory. I'm not sure whether it's
I think he's quitting theatre acting because his memory isn't as good. Right. Screen acting is easier because, of course, you know, you can
stop.
You can just staple your lines to the back of an extra, which is what Marlon Brando used to do.
Did he?
No. Paloma Faith news now, heading to Neverland. Yeah, Paloma Faith, the singer with the eccentric personality, is apparently going to be part of the new Peter Pan ITV show. It's going to be called Peter and Wendy. It's a new kind of twist. Yeah, well, she's got Tinkerbell written all over her. Yes. I mean, her role's not been confirmed yet, but I'm guessing it's Tinkerbell. And it's going to be a new twist on the Peter Pan story. It's going to look at it. It's going to start off with a girl in this day and age whose imagination takes her back into a Peter Pan world to survive or to deal with an operation that she's got that's like quite a big, serious operation. Stanley Tucci, who you might remember from Fortitude and many other films, is playing Captain Hook. He's a brilliant actor.
Right.
That looks excellent. Yeah. So ITV have got a couple of big dramas. Churchill 1, Peter Pan on the way. Here's some more news.
We'll ride them on the beaches.
I'd like to know, because Luke mentioned last week, Wayward Pines was very good. The M.
Wayward
Night.
Pines?
M. Night Shyamalan.
I will do the rest of the podcast as Winston Churchill.
If you want to, Hal, you can do that.
I will.
Wayward Pines, I started watching it on the recommendation of Luke Marsden. Yeah, I know, it's weird, but it actually is very good. It's really, really good. It's only two, three episodes in now.
What do you mean, but it's really good? You mean Luke is a silly little man?
He might actually be right on this occasion.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really good, it's a twisty kind of turny kind of thing, but it's
twisting,
worth a
turning.
Go. And M. Night Shyamalan is having actual success again. He made a number of turkeys. I'm talking about The Happening, I'm talking about The Last Airbender. He had some really bad films. He had a bad run in the film industry. He's moved to TV and he's been getting critical and fan applauds. People are liking his work
critical
again.
Critical and fan applauds.
It's a new sentence. Try it out on the kids. And the good thing is he decided, well, I'm going to stick with TV a little bit. And he's working on bringing one of his better films, Unbreakable, to a TV show format, which is great. Have you seen The Unbreakable? It's got Samuel L. Jackson and Bruce Willis. It is very good. It's one of my favourite of his films.
Ah.
It was the next one he did after Thick Sense, and it's, if you ask me, better than that. So
what happens in it?
It's when the guy, Bruce Willis, is in a train accident. There's a big train crash. Yeah. Everybody pretty much dies, except for Bruce, who's actually uninjured, which
is
weird.
Yeah, I think I have.
It's a very good film. Anyway, they're thinking of making an eye into a bit of TV action.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine trying to work with Bruce Willis?
God. I've heard he's a right ball ache.
Those interviews with him, he's not playing along.
He's a piece of work.
God. Just don't sign up to the interviews.
Just don't do it, all right? Bald face. Next up, I'll ask the one we'll talk about this. Summertime is here. In June, we are now in June, some of the best TV shows are returning and some new ones are coming. It's time to get back on your sofa, close the curtains and watch hell of a lot of TV.
That summer light.
Let me tell you what's returning, okay?
Yeah.
First of all, Orange is the New Black is back this month.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait. Next up, True Detective, end of June, returns. Mm-hmm. New cast, looks great. Trailer's on the boxsetpod.com/news. Check out that pod, the trailer for that. Also, Hannibal's back, which a lot of people love Hannibal. That's back this month as well. That's already returned. And there's some new shows that look really interesting. First of all, the one called Ballers. It stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson as a former American football player who becomes a financial manager to other players. Mark Wahlberg's producing. It's been sort of touted as the new Entourage, this.
Okay.
Sort of funny, kind of show-busy lifestyle kind of look at things.
Yeah.
Next up, The Brink. The Brink begins end of this month. Jack Black, Tim Robbins doing a kind of comedy version of Homeland where they're trying to stop World War III. The trailer for that is on the website as well. Check that out. That looks really good. And one more thing I want to mention, Sense8, it's called. This is all going to be on Netflix in a few weeks' time. It's about the Wachowskis, who did the Matrix films. did the Atlas film, the Cloud Atlas, which I actually really like, but got panned by critics.
Yeah.
Well, they've got a new show coming out. It's about a group of people who are all connected. Their minds are connected together, and they are suddenly hunted down by people who see them as a threat. The trailer for it on the website looks very enticing indeed. There's a lot of really good TV coming on this summertime, and I will be watching it and feasting on it mightily. Also, we should mention Entourage. There's a good chance next week I will be doing an Entourage special without Howell.
This is correct. I am going on a mission for the Box Set Pod, obviously, to America, where I will be looking for TV series. I'm not at all just on holiday and wandering around.
Balderdash.
But who knows? Maybe I'll bump into Ben Stiller again, like on last week's pod. We'll see. So Jamie will be on his own. Now, this means a couple of things. One, Jamie has to edit, so he won't be editing it. The podcast will not be edited.
Next week's going to be a shoddy piece of work.
And he's got to work out how to upload the podcast to our website, the Box Set Pod, and to Acast, and then it'll be fed to iTunes.
could be a stinker next week.
It's anybody's business, but we can't miss this opportunity. Yeah. So well done for doing it.
Entourage. I'm a massive Entourage fan. I love the show.
It'll be an interview with the creator.
Hopefully with the director, and hopefully maybe also possibly with one of the stars, the actress, I believe, what's she called? Emmeline Cirque.
So don't get too excited. Just,
she's gorgeous.
Just ask your questions. Let them speak and enjoy yourself. I know I'm not there to, you know, look after you, but just enjoy yourself, right? Don't get nervous.
Oh, I don't need tips off a second-rate man like you.
Just want to make sure, because you know that the podcast after that will be me criticising your podcast. You know that.
You think I listen already to your criticism?
I want to talk about me now. I have finally finished watching The Wire. Oh, what credentials do I have to do this podcast? Well, I did watch The Wire when
Emmanuel
it first came
Cirque.
On.
Sorry, carry on, Hal.
I did watch The Wire when it first was on, but then I met my wife, and I met her just as I started season 5, and I had to start from the beginning. We never finished it. Finally, we got around to watching it. Finished The Wire. Can I just say, maybe it was part of the time. Back then, what you really needed was a big social Bible. It's like a social Bible of Baltimore, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a sociology lesson, the whole thing. There's more sociology in it than there is TV in some ways, I think, because, and by that I mean, we're so used to now popcorn stuff that then it was gradually dawning on me as I was watching it. Oh, there isn't going to be a big happy ending. There isn't going to be the FBI swooping a building. It's not going to be some big resolution, because this is an actual picture of a city. And I've never seen a better painted picture. It's almost like an alfresco. It's almost like a Roman. It's almost like the Sistine Chapel of Baltimore. What an amazing series. However,
who the hell is alfresco?
It's what paintings are called.
Alfresco.
An alfresco is a painting.
I don't know.
Like a fresh.
Sounds like one of your Ponzi statements that have no.
Who's alfresco?
Have no place in this show. I don't want to hear anymore about Alan Fresco.
On The Wire.
Who the hell is Alf? How dare you talk about some guy called Alfresco?
Can I say this? I was so glad it ended. I thought the last series was too short. It's like it's only 10 episodes, the last series.
Well, the last series was really good.
But it was too short, though. Like, you're just getting into these characters and what's going to happen, and then it ends, and it's a lot shorter than the other series. So I'm not sure why that happened. I'm sure someone will send me a link as to why, studio@theboxsetpod.com. But also, I was so glad it was over, because it was making me very depressed.
Yeah, but can I say one thing about you, Howell,
struggling.
Is you're somebody who doesn't often like show, or doesn't get into show unless they have happy. You like happy endings.
I do like a happy ending, but I also, you know, I like Game of Thrones. There's not many happy endings in that, but it's exciting and it's dramatic. This, like I said, isn't that. It's more of a documentary that's acted, and it's phenomenal, and what an amazing piece of work. I recognise all the stuff in there, all the themes, and it's brilliant, but you can't escape the fact that you watch an hour, and the main effect of The Wire is to go, oh, Baltimore's screwed, you know? And that's quite sad. I feel sorry for the people who are stuck in that situation. At the end of it, do you know what we went to? Do you know what I've started?
What?
The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, that's brilliant.
24 minutes of pure joy.
Best theme tune going these days. One of my favourite theme tunes.
Brilliant theme tune. The acting is superb. The guy who plays a housemate, the gay guy who plays a housemate.
He's excellent.
Plays, and I say gay because it's so key to his character, the levels of camp that he plays, but also the talent that he's got. It's what I like about Kimmy Schmidt, right, is that I think in a world of commissioners and box ticking and things like that, actors become not that important. And the and you could replace people. Even Jesse in Breaking Bad, who is awesome, you could envisage someone else playing that part. They could do it. In Kimmy Schmidt's a great example of where I think Tina Fey and her husband have got found some people who just, if you were just selling these people alone, it would be worth commissioning a series.
If you like,
so entertaining.
If you like Kimmy Schmidt, you should be watching 30 Rock, because that's where she started. And she, yes. Well, not started, but as a writer of her own stuff. 30 Rock's brilliant. You've got to watch it. And, of course, Mean Girls, which is a really good film.
Yeah, but I've seen me. It's amazing, Mean Girls. But Kimmy Schmidt, just brilliant. What an antidote to The Wire. Both of those things couldn't be more different from each other.
But I think you need different shit. I watched The Wire 3 times now with different people, and I like watching it in conjunction with other shows like Kimmy Schmidt and then something like Prison Break, because, you know, you need a mixture.
Yeah.
You need a smorgasbord of genres
now,
in your life.
Please welcome to the Box Set Pod a man who hasn't been on for like a month or two. Fife Dangerfield, she's always a woman to me. Good morning, Fife. Good afternoon, Fife.
You sounded a little bit desperate with that please.
Please welcome him.
Where's your theme music, Fife?
Fife Dangerfield?
There you go.
There it is. It's chimes. Fife Dangerfield. Fife Dangerfield of the Guillemots and Fife Dangerfield fame. Excellent music. Now, Fife, can I begin by apologising to you?
Sure. I love being apologised to.
I'd like to apologise for not giving Fife the respect, the dignified welcomes and just generally respect that he deserves over the last 6 months or so, because we were in a car and I had my iPod on shuffle. And Get Over It came on, a great song by the Guillemots.
And you turned it off.
No, I did not. And you know what? It reminded me.
It reminded me as well.
Artists aren't necessarily interesting people. They're not necessarily nice to sit down and have a coffee with. So that said,
is this a compliment?
They're also can be phenomenal musicians. And Fife, you know,
we did see it in the car.
He's really good, isn't he?
Talented, isn't he?
Because it's like in bullying you for the last 6 months, we have kind of forgotten that you are really good. And I say it to urge anybody who hasn't bought themselves, especially the first Guillemots album, which is just, it's got the best song ever, Sao Paulo, on it. I mean, it's brilliant. So
this is very kind of you. Thank you. You make very good PR.
Thanks. I genuinely mean it.
It was nice because it reminded us that, you know, you're more than just a floppy-haired ditherer.
Yeah. That would be an excellent name for an album, actually.
And I wouldn't like you to think that this is surprise. This is like, oh, that guy's boring. It's more like, that is one of the, if not the best song that came round on the shuffle that day. And let me tell you, Jimmy Nail was in there with Ain't No Doubt.
I love Jimmy Nail.
It's amazing.
Crocodile Shoes.
Oh, my word.
Ain't No Doubt's an amazing song.
There's actually a song by Jimmy Nail called, it's not by him, it's by Paddy McLoon, the guy from, I think, anyway, the guy from, is it Prefab Sprout? I'm getting confused. Mm. But there's a song called Love Will Find Someone For You, which is on, because I know, because as a teenager, which is a little bit of an insight to maybe why I wasn't the coolest kid on the block, I think I bought the Crocodile Shoes Jimmy Nail album. Only a few people will know what we're talking about.
No, everybody bought that. And maybe not the album. I certainly bought the single.
Yeah, no, I bought the album.
That
song is actually a very good song.
It's
quite a nice... No, not that one. This one called Love Will Stop Find Someone For You. It's really good, except it has a terrible, like, fake trumpet solo in the middle of it. It's quite a nice production, and then it just has this...
Dreadful. That's a well done on being
that said,
an excellent musician.
You did hate the reason I think we've given you so much abuse over the
I don't
the
think
set.
You've given me that much abuse.
Well,
maybe
Howell
I'm just
has.
Like, you know, immune to it.
It's just that you hated, well, you didn't hate, but you had trouble with Mad Men.
Which has now
finished. I hated Mad Men.
I know, I took that word back, but let me say this, the Mad Men has finished now, and I don't want to go on about Mad Men, because we always seem to, but I do want to mention the ending of Mad Men with the final episode. It's worth going on that journey, my friend.
It's the best ending ever.
I've actually been thinking about Mad Men on and off. sort of over the last couple of months. Like, it's definitely, you know, I keep thinking now and then, oh, I have to get back into that.
The barren life of TV for you in the wilderness, what has that been, what have you been watching the last couple of months?
I've kind of, it's been quite sporadic. I'm definitely not the best guinea pig for you here. I mean, you need to find someone who just life and just stays in and watches, you know, a different series every day.
Yeah, but what was the challenge that we set
the
you?
The challenge, I think it was West Wing.
West Wing it was. We set you the challenge.
And you've had 2 months.
Anyway.
Bloody hell. You, to quote Fife Daisyfield, you are the worst guinea pig ever.
I think you're telling me you've not watched a single episode of West Wing?
No. But
I think I watched one by accident.
I just haven't really, you've got to fancy something. I haven't really fancied a gritty political, you know. I mean, there will be a time for it, I'm sure. But, I'm sort of, I haven't been watching loads of TV because I've been, you know, busy.
It's not
music.
It's not gritty at all. West Wing is not gritty. It's very easily consumable, and you will enjoy it very much. Have you watched any TV, Fife? Can you anything? Go on. What have you watched?
I will.
Go on.
I am juggling two series at the moment.
Right.
I say juggling them. I mean, I'm sort of maybe watching one of each.
God, why use one sentence when 12 will do? What the bloody hell have you been watching, Fife?
No, but I want to keep talking, so it's a difficult one for you to edit. so the more of this kind of, like, you know, going back at myself and putting across the other side of things, the tougher job you have. Because the listener doesn't know how hard I have to edit all this down.
What have you been watching?
Actually, it was funny. The other day, I was...
God.
All right. Okay, I've been watching True Detective.
True Detective!
And Bloodlines.
Okay!
Right, I watched Bloodlines. What did you think of Bloodlines?
Well, I think I've only watched about four. I haven't finished either of them. And
right.
I think I've only watched about four episodes. I like them both. I think True Detective is amazing.
It's brilliant, yeah. It's stunning.
I mean, McConaughey... Well, I mean, they're both fantastic. Like, I was saying to someone, McConaughey is amazing. And they were going, I think Woody Harrelson's, like, the star for me. And but I mean, they're both amazing. I think it's just that the Woody Harrelson character is a bit straighter, so...
Yeah. Let me just step off True Detective a second. Just back onto Bloodline. I want to just...
Back onto Bloodline.
It gets better. You know, the first four episodes are quite... I found them quite slow.
It's definitely of the two, when we kind of are like, oh, what should we watch? I mean, we're more... True Detective is more... sort of gripping, but Bloodlines is good. And, I'm intrigued to know what
it gets
happens.
Really good. I mean, the last half of the series gets really, really good. But having said that, back to True Detective. I mean, what? I don't know if you've got to the episode yet where they raid a drug place.
Oh, the one. Yes. Well, yes, I have the one.
There's one shot.
Goes undercover and
Oh my god!
What a scene!
yeah.
That was just amazing.
It's really, I just find him. I know I keep talking about Matthew McConaughey, but it's just, I just love it when you get just such a totally watchable character. I suppose it's the same with the Kevin Spacey, you know, in House of Cards, but like just that kind of. I don't know. There's a lot of acting you see, which is, you know, it's all fine, but it's just like yeah. But someone like that, like, it doesn't really matter whether or not it's a larger than life character or not. It's just so he does it so convincingly, and
I mentioned before about your music, and I read an article many many years ago by A.A. Gill about the South Bank Show, and he was saying the one criticism he's got of the South Bank Show is that it presumes that the artist is as interesting as the art, and very rarely is, like I was saying about your music. Matthew McConaughey is a great example of that, in that he is such a committed actor. He's so committed to what he does. And then I found out that in The Wolf of Wall Street, that thing that he does on his chest, this weird thing, he just made that up, and he does that to himself. And I just think if you
apparently
actually spend...
Leonardo DiCaprio saw him...
Spotted it and
that.
Said,
like,
do
he was
it.
Like, and he was like, what's that?
Yeah.
You've got to do that.
We all watched the same Graham Norton episode then.
Yeah.
And then, but I imagine that 10 minutes in Matthew McConaughey's company might be really weird / boring / fundamental.
I've got a bit obsessed with him since. I started watching... I had one night where I was just watching loads of interviews with him on YouTube. Like, he's a very interesting character. Because I didn't know loads about him before, so I didn't really... I haven't seen most of the kind of rom-coms that he's done. Yeah. But it was really interesting, actually. There's one interview where he was making the point, because obviously the thing, the sort of accepted line on him is he did loads of these kind of
rom-coms, and then he became cool.
But, you know, he was kind of saying that actually it's a lot harder than you think to do those films. And he sort of talked about it like, you know, you have to, it takes like loads of work to make it look that buoyant. And which I thought was a really interesting point, because, you know, actually to do those kind of films, you know, they're not, they might not be sort of...
I was going to say that.
It's pretty easy to make How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days for me.
But I take your point, because I was going to say that about your friend saying Woody Harrelson's character is better than his. I was like, well, it is actually very easy to do very little, I think. You know, you've got to have a skill at it, but it's harder. And we've already always said it about mainstream entertainment, and you know this from music. In many ways, it's a lot easier to make an ethereal piece of self-indulgent than a pop song.
Definitely. But no, I think True Detective is just really... It's just very, very well done, you know.
Okay, so we've got a horse race on in Fife's life now, which is True Detective versus Bloodlines. And this is this is good. So we can track this progress now. We've got something to hang our hat on, Fife. This is good. So which one have you got furthest through so far?
I'm probably about level in each. I've probably done slightly more True Detective.
You're choosing two very moody, atmospheric shows there. Mm.
Well, I'm a very moody, atmospheric person, so...
Yeah.
I realise that I'm never particularly insightful in my critiques of programmes when I talk to you. I'm just sort of like, yeah, it's good. I really like it.
No, but I think your point of view that McConaughey is certainly, he's mesmerising, and he has...
Well, he's just so, he's just so, like, I could just watch a character like that for hours, you know? Like, it's just... Because you don't really get to do that in life in the same way. You can't just stare at someone, you know?
That's the sad thing about True Detective is that it is literally the new series of True Detective is going to move on to different characters, different cops, a different setting, and a different
era. Are they both out of it now?
Yeah, that's it. Right. They did one show. Right.
And the new one is Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, Colin Farrell, Taylor Kitsch, and a few other people. But
it's a big one. I was left cold by True Detective, I'm going to be honest.
Were you?
Because I think there's a fundamental problem with whodunits.
But I think I have to say this, it scared the hell out of me.
Don't give anything away.
I think it's
the one thing that the journey is better than the result. You know, the ending isn't very good.
I totally disagree. That ending scared the bejesus out of me. It's exactly what...
It didn't me, because I don't know. Alfred Hitchcock says he only made one whodunit. He said he'd never make another, because...
But I don't especially... I mean...
Because the answer's never as good as the question.
I don't really think of it as a whodunit. I mean, I am interested to know the answer to the question, but I don't think that's what's bringing me back to it. I'm not coming back to it to go, like, what's going to happen? It's that thing of just, I don't know, when characters are interesting enough, I just sort of love, you know, it could go on indefinitely and I'd still enjoy.
You know what I think it is as well, why I did enjoy watching it, although I had problems with the end. I enjoyed watching it because I'd just been to New Orleans when I watched it, so I'd been to that bit of the world and driven through the South.
It's a really fascinating place, isn't it? Yeah.
And I think whilst it's not exactly a love letter to the South, because it paints most people as serial killers, the actual, the photography, the cinematography of driving around that world, it really gives you that sort of the allure of the open road, the American open road.
Yes, and that's same with Bloodline in a way. Like, it's set in the Florida Keys, and it's like a really beautiful, picturesque place, and you really like...
Interesting, they've clearly gone southern states, haven't had much attention. And, you know, maybe box sets are heading down that way. So, Fife, if one person could watch just one of those things, which one would it be? I'm guessing True Detective.
I think I'd say True Detective. I think that's winning for me.
What about you, Jamie? If you could keep just one of those two?
You know, it probably would be True Detective still, but Bloodline is like, it's inches, it's millimetres of difference between the two of them, because they are both really good, and Bloodline gets better and better, but I do think True Detective was just like, it was so...
I think just the script in True Detective, I think, is really great. Like, I remember that's what I when we first started watching them both, like Bloodlines was great, but it wasn't that thing where, like, there were some lines that sort of seemed a bit like, you know, corny. Or,
totally.
Whereas I haven't really noticed that in True Detective. Like, I haven't really noticed any bits where the script becomes a bit sort of pedestrian.
Can we mention what's going on in your private life at the moment?
Well, you seem very keen to mention this.
I really want to mention it. It's fantastic news. Fife Dangerfield is going to make a little Fife Dangerfield. Him and his partner are going to have a baby.
Yay.
Fife.
Well, are things going well.
All things well. Are you going to call him Fife Dangerfield the second? Or
her? I have no idea what we're
called. Well, the reason I mention it is that I think that your... Congratulations, by the way, on behalf of everyone listening.
Yeah.
I think that your viewing habits are going to change very quickly. Adam came on a couple of weeks ago to talk about Louis. And Adam is a guy who had a child in the last year. And he, therefore, has perhaps spent less time on the long form, on that kind of stuff you're watching now, and has moved more to stuff that is a bit more popcorn. And I would like to recommend that I'm not going to mention the one I mention every week, so I won't mention that. But I do think that West Wing is still a great option for you in terms of something disposable, not too hefty.
Yeah, sitting down with the baby, you know, enjoying. How do you mean? Are you mean sort of when baby's asleep?
I think when your life
baby.
Becomes.
I hate the way I just did that. I hate when the way baby's people asleep. Go, baby.
I know.
It's
well,
not the baby. It really, I started doing it. It makes me squirm.
I own rabbits.
Is baby sleeping?
Yeah.
Baby's smiling.
Yeah, terrible. I have rabbits and I foster rabbit. A foster rabbit as well. We spend a lot of time looking after rabbits. And on all of the forums, everyone calls them buns or bunnies. When bun is asleep.
And
it makes me want to vomit. These things are like ruthless creatures. If you anyway.
Well, I mean, they're not the most ruthless. If you look at the animal kingdom, I don't think the rabbit would be there.
I am telling you, man. Not against predators, but against each other, they can be vicious as hell. Plus, when they bite through your Apple TV HDMI, you think they're pretty ruthless. So, Fife,
we talk briefly about...
The reason I mentioned it was that I think that your life will become immeasurably tired, and therefore, stuff that you watch, you will want to be the easiest watch possible while still being good.
Maybe.
And I think West Wing is that.
What, do you think it's the easiest watch possible? Friends or something? Or
well, maybe not, but for you, for a man
something
with...
Something we have got in, because my lady is a massive fan of this programme, and someone bought her for her birthday, is the entire Frasier. I've watched loads of them on and off.
If we could get a guest on here from Frasier, if I could interview Niles Crane, I could die happy.
You know, I was on... Sorry, this is now going to sound very name-dropping, but it is relevant. Because when I was on... I was on the Graham Norton show when I did the Billy Joel song.
Yeah.
Not being interviewed, obviously, it was just singing. And it was Joanna Lumley and two Australian dudes I'd never heard of, and this actor, American actor dude I'd never heard of.
No.
And yeah, it was Niles.
It was
Niles. I'd never watched Frasier at that point, so I had no idea who he was.
It was David Hyde Pierce.
That's the one. Yeah, yeah.
And
it meant nothing to me. And yeah, like.
Oh my God! You were on the Graham Norton show with David Hyde Pierce.
Yeah, but I did. I wish I'd known who he was. I mean, I don't know what I would have said.
I mean, Frasier. Frasier's one of the very few shows that it gets better when you watch it again. Like, you love it
does,
even
doesn't
more.
It? Yeah.
I don't know if I've mentioned before, but I studied theatre at...
Jeez Louise.
And farce, particularly French farce, is something that I became really a massive fan of. And that's what it is. It's a French farce, Frasier, but with a really intellectual, modern thing. Fife, I think that our key to getting Niles on this podcast is you.
Yes, mention that you performed on the Noughts.
Do you remember, mate? No, I met you on the sofa for a minute.
No,
do you
take this
Fife,
to
you're doing
you
it.
You are taking this seriously.
All right.
You're going to email his agent and you're going to say,
How do you think these things work? After a Graham Norton show, everyone's given everyone's contact details.
No.
You talk to Billy Joel. Billy Joel talks to...
Billy Joel probably could get in touch with anyone, but I wouldn't exploit him.
You email. We'll get you the email address. You email and you say hi. I was on the Graham Norton show once with Niles. I do a podcast now, and we'd really like to interview him.
I do a podcast.
Yes,
I did.
You do.
Well, Well, I suppose I do. I suppose I feature. I don't think it's going to happen, guys. Oh. I'm sorry.
What kind of commitment does this guy have?
Seriously, you
didn't even watch the bloody stuff that we tell
him. West Wing, and you won't even get David Hyde Pierce to come down the phone.
I have got someone you could talk to, but I'll tell you.
Let's talk more.
All right, well, listen, that's enough from 5-5. Well done for being on the Graham Norton Show. Well done for watching two new box sets. And please have a go at West Wing before that baby comes along, all right?
I don't think you're going to be getting any West Wing.
Right, God. Right, thanks, 5.
All right, guys.
So join us next week, or join Jamie next week, when hopefully you're going to get a podcast from with the creator of Entourage.
The director.
It's going to be Brit creator as well.
Amazing.
And then we will be back a couple of weeks after that, because we're away on those holidays. If you're in Vegas, San Diego, Honolulu, or Maui, I might see you. That is annoying, isn't it? Bye.